the Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. I am John Schmuck. As always, every Friday, we're joined by Lance Meadow. As the New York Giants get ready to take on the Washington Redskins, and Lance, when this game was on the schedule at the start of the season, I bet both these teams thought it might very well be deciding the NFC East. Instead, both teams playing for pride.
Yeah, of the last two teams that won the NFC East, so of course, I think everybody circled thinking this game was going to be meaningful, but as a result of turnovers and other injury issues, these two teams are on the bottom of the standings, and right now, as you mentioned, it just comes down to pride.
Now it's time for our Adorama News of the Day, and Victor Cruz was in the facility today after that knee surgery a couple weeks ago, and Lance, the big news coming out of what he said to the media, he expects to be ready for not only training camp, but also the offseason workout program and OTAs.
Well, we saw, as in years past, it's important to get your time in during OTAs and training camp because then you could translate that to the regular season. So I think it's wise for Victor Cruz to have gone under the knife early, and this way he can continue to rehab and he'll be caught up with the rest of his teammates as opposed to waiting and then having to play catch-up throughout the course of the offseason.
Now let's take a look at the rest of the Giants injury report, the guys that will not be playing in this game. And the two notable guys, Lance, one Brandon Mosey, by the way, underwent surgery on that broken hand today. The two guys questionable today, Tremaine McBride is one. If he can't go, Jayron Holsey will start. But the big name on this list, Ruben Randle, who's questionable. He has a balky knee. It's a little sore. It's a little swollen. If he can't go, what's the Giants' plan?
Well, it looks like Lewis Murphy's probably going to be the next guy up, and it'll be more of an opportunity for Jarrell Jernigan to shine. He's had 13 receptions in the last two contests, so this is going to be a chance for him to build off of two very strong performances and an opportunity for the Giants' coaching staff to further evaluate some of these guys.
And Eli Manning with yet another wide receiver combination that he'll have to throw to. Either way, he's ready for life if Ruben Randle cannot go on Sunday.
Hopefully he can come back and we'll see, but we'll have some guys who've been working these last few weeks, and whether it's Lewis Murphy or so we have a number of guys who can step in and play well if we need them to.
And this brings us to our Twitter question at C Kringle. Had Ruben Randle done enough this year to project him as the Giants' second wide receiver next year? Of course, Akeem Nicks, an unrestricted free agent.
Well, John, I think Ruben Randle has shined at some points where he had six receptions that were touchdowns during a six-game stretch, and then there's been other times where he's been held in check and he hasn't really put up respectable numbers. So I would say that he has proven that he can take advantage of his opportunities, but I don't know if he's solidified this number two spot. I think the Giants look at this offseason, they still need to explore their options.
Well, and Hakeem Nicks will be the only starter from the beginning of the season that'll play on Sunday, and he's going to be covered by D'Angelo Hall.
And D'Angelo Hall has been an opportunistic corner this season, John. He's returned two of his four interceptions for touchdowns. He's a physical corner. This is another opportunity for Hakeem Nicks, number one, to try to get in the end zone because he's been on such a lengthy drought, but also give maybe the Giants a reason to bring him back because that's going to be the huge storyline this offseason. Do they invest money in a guy that's been here for a while but hasn't produced this season?
And we will have more on Hakeem Nicks later on in the show, but that also means it's another opportunity for Jarrell Jernigan. He's had two straight, very strong games, and Kevin Gobright is happy he's finally taking advantage of his opportunity.
He's played well the last couple of chances we've given him, and of course he had made some terrific catches, and the great thing is he made a touchdown catch that we got called for delay game. He came right back and threw it to him, made a tremendous catch.
I thought JJ had a great week of practice. I thought we versus Seattle got some good reps and kind of got comfortable, and came in to made some big catches for last week, did some good things. So hopefully he can continue to do that this week. We need him to play well.
And Giant fans have certainly been waiting for a drone to get this opportunity, and Lance, he's taking advantage of it.
He has. The last two games, he's absolutely shined, and Manning alluded to it. How about that catch on 4th-and-7 during that overtime drive to set up Josh Brown for the game-winning field goal, a sliding catch? He's taken full advantage of his opportunities, and even Gilbride is impressed at this point. That's a way to earn a roster spot next season.
No doubt about it. We'll have plenty more in the Giants' future later on in the program. When we come back, we'll do a little bit more on the Washington Redskins and what the Giants will have to do to slow them down on Sunday. We'll be right back on Big Blue Hits Friday on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. The objective. We're back on Big Blue Hits, fueled by Hess right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Menno, and Lance. The Redskins, a very different team this time around. No Robert Griffin III, Kirk Cousins behind center. A very different-looking offense.
Kirk Cousins, their fourth-round pick from last season. He was brought on to build insurance for RG3, and he's taken advantage of his opportunities. He's more of a pocket passer, has a very strong arm, so they're not really running that zone read option anymore. However, his numbers are pretty impressive even when he runs out of the pocket, so the Giants need to be aware of where he can do, what he can do when he runs out of the pocket or he stays under center.
And Giants defensive coordinator Perry Fuel has been watching him on tape all week long.
I'm impressed with Kirk Cousins, and you know, they're not in the pistol as much as he's under center now. You know, he can pull the ball down, he can run the ball. It's not as much speed on the field in that sense, but he may be a little bit more accurate as a passer. So I think there's another dynamic that he brings that RG doesn't bring or didn't bring last time.
And Kirk Cousins, as you can see by the numbers here, Lance, certainly playing well. Gets the ball down the field, but also some turnover issues. In his short NFL career, just a few games, 8 picks, 4 fumbles.
And he's had 3 interceptions and a fumble over the last 2 games, to even be more specific. So you're right, he has had trouble holding on to the ball. RG3's had trouble holding on to the football as well. That's been the one thing that has plagued this team throughout the course of this season, and that's led for opportunities for the opposition, considering they've lost their last 2 games by a combined 2 points. So there could be opportunities for the Giants to take full advantage if the Redskins once again are careless with the football.
But you see him getting the ball down the field to Pierre Garçon from that Cowboys game last week. He can throw it. This Giants secondary has to be ready.
And specifically Pierre Garçon they need to be ready for, because he leads the team in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. Leads the NFL in receptions. That's how effective he's been. And he seems to be the favorite target of Kirk Cousins, because Cousins looks his way time and time again. He has at least double-digit targets in each of the last 9 games.
No doubt about it. But the centerpiece of that offense is the cornerstone of everything they do is Alfred Morris. Justin Tuck, no stopping him will be a challenge.
Against him, man, you got to stay square as long as you can. It seems like once someone gets turned in that zone scheme, he finds a way to find that gap. And he's so tough to bring down once he gets ahead of steam that, you know, you can hit him at 2 yards down the line of scrimmage and he still falls forward for, you know, 6-7 yards. So that's how they bleed you. So you just got to have 11 guys on the right page, on the same page.
And Alfred Morris is one of the top running backs in football. And Lance, the Giants have done a good job all year long slowing these guys down. But Alfred Morris is strong. One step up the field, he knows what he's doing.
Very hard to bring him down, as Justin Tuck alluded to. He's 5th in rushing yardage, and he's 6th in yardage per carry, just under 5 yards per carry. So the bottom line is they got to contain him just like they did in the first matchup.
And that brings us to our Twitter question. This one comes in from @CorneliusUConn. Can this offensive line be trusted to protect Eli Manning from Brian Arakpo and Ryan Kerrigan, two very good pass rushers?
Well, Arakpo had the field day against Will Beatty in the first matchup. He had 2 of the team's 3 sacks. Arakpo with 10 on the season. I guess the best thing working for the Giants, John, Arakpo's questionable with that groin injury.
And real quick, London Fletcher, final game of his NFL career. Boy, he's been something special to watch.
What a great story. One of the greatest linebackers in NFL history because of his consistency. We're talking about 255 consecutive games. He's the stellar guy in the mix in that linebacking court. He's very good at stopping the run.
We'll have more on the Giants as we continue. As we take a look further into the offseason, you also see what Akeem Nicks had to say to the media today about his impending free agency. But first, a closer look at the game on Sunday with Carl Banks and strategy.
Let's take a look at the Redskins offense down in the red zone. Now, it's very important if you're going to play zone defense that each defender has to be able to count to 3. Let's take a look. You got 1, 2, 3 receivers, and you've got 1, 2, 3 defenders. Now, if your defender is responsible for number 3, this guy's number 2, this guy's number 1. You've got to be able to count them, because if they should change and do some different things, you've got to eventually end up on the guy who's in your area. Now, let's take a look at what they do with their receivers to confuse the zone concepts. You've got 1, 2, 3, but now 3 will become 1. This guy's 2, and then that guy's 3. But as you can see, highlight this linebacker there. I'll play it. He just follows his guy in. And there's no one to take the new number 1 into the end zone. Zone principles mean that you zone off an area and you take the next guy in your area. Now, let's take a look at the Redskins' defense. Here they're showing a lot of guys at the line of scrimmage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, possibly an eighth potential rusher. Tackles will have to look out. Look out. Whichever guy comes from the outside, that's who the tackles take. The inside guys can switch off on these guys, because if a twist comes, he takes it, and this guy takes the next guy outside. Communication is key. There's your twist. Here it is again. Watch your twist. There's the twist. I'll freeze it. He's got the twist. The guard never picks up the inside guy, resulting in a sack of the quarterback.
And there's a look at the Giants and Redskins, some of the X's and O's. But Lance, it's going to be a very busy offseason for the Giants, and it all starts on Monday after this Redskins game. And boy, let's start on the offense first. The Giants are going to have a ton of new pieces in terms of personnel next year, more so likely than not.
Specifically on the offensive line, John, when you look at the troubles they've had in protecting Eli Manning, running the football, I think that is priority number one. And then you can look at wide receiver, running back, tight end, you name it. A lot of free agents that are going to be out there for the Giants. They have to determine whether or not they want to bring back some of those names. Kevin Booth, a versatile offensive lineman that you see, and Brandon Myers. Do you once again want to change up the tight end spot?
And let's start with the offensive line and David Deal, one of the longest 10-year Giants on this team. He's getting ready to play on Sunday, and he's not going to let free agency get into his mind one bit.
I'm focusing on this one game and see what happens after. But like I said, I'm approaching it just like I do any week and any season. And like I said, you want to finish out the right way, and all of us want to finish out the right way, winning and, you know, having that feeling. And not only us, but going into the new year with a feeling that this team still has a lot of fight in it, which we do, and show how much pride we have in this organization.
And you could have as many as three new offensive starters on this offensive line next year. Deal's a free agent. Christney likely going to contemplate, at the very least, retirement after yet another hip surgery. And then Kevin Booth is a free agent. Lance, how much different is this offensive line going to look next year?
Well, I think it's going to look very different, John, because as you mentioned, the interior linemen, the guards are likely to change. And then what do you do at center? You know, David Boss has been plagued by injuries over the course of his career. He still will be under contract, but perhaps Kevin Booth plays more of an integral role in the offensive set next season, or maybe even they choose to move some of the tackles around. So I think maybe the personnel won't change that much, but at least the alignment is going to change.
Well, and do you want to get a different type of interior offensive lineman? Getting away from some of those finesse guys you've had and get guys that are really that old school mauler types, like a Richie Seibert, like a Sean O'Hara. What do you want the identity to be when you come to camp next year? Do you want to be a power running team, or do you want to be a down the field passing team?
Well, ideally, you'd like a balance in both. But John, I think you brought up a good point. That's the conversation you have to have before you determine what offensive lineman you want to bring in. Do you want to be that team that could set the tempo with ground and pound, or do you want to look for the big plays? I think the Giants thrive in both situations, so therefore you want a balance. You want the toughness, but you also want the versatility that could give Eli Manning time to throw the football down the field.
And I think Kevin Booth is an interesting guy to talk about here. He's been so valuable. He plays guard. He plays center. I think he's going to be back. But in what regard? Is he going to be a starting guard? Is he going to be a starting center? Or is he going to be that swing guy that can back up all three positions?
Well, if you recall, when they had Sean Locklear a few seasons ago, he was very valuable because he could play multiple positions. So there's value when you have a guy that you could bring in off the bench. But if you're going to pay Kevin Booth, and he was on a one-year deal this coming season, you want to be able to utilize him much more than just have him play X amount of snaps. So I think if you bring him back, he's essentially going to be a starter.
No doubt about it. And the guys that these players have been protecting is the quarterback and the running backs, Eli Manning and that Giants backfield. And boy, if you want to trace back Eli's issues, to me, you can go right back to that Panthers game when he was sacked early on in that contest again and again and again, and he frankly hasn't looked the same since then. Now, the Giants have a bit of a decision to make. He has 2 years left on his contract, but a $20 million cap hit next year. They could give him an extension, try to spread that money out, give them more wiggle room in free agency, or they can wait and see. It's really a tough decision considering the fact he's coming off a year where he has struggled.
And that's why I don't know if there's an urgency to get a deal done where you restructure his contract. You have to look at it from the Giants' perspective. They gave out a lot of one-year deals, John. So they do have enough flexibility heading into this offseason where I think they can afford to infuse some new faces into the mix. If they need more wiggle room, you can approach Eli Manning and say, hey, we can use a little bit more flexibility and then go down that way. Because remember, there were a few other players they approached this offseason and reportedly made some tweaks, such as Chris Snee and Corey Webster in their contracts.
And Eli Manning obviously will be back next year, but there are a lot of guys on this Giants team that will not be back. Eli Manning's not going to let that slip into his head for the game on Sunday.
You know, from year to year, you never know what's going to happen, and so I think you go in and try to play your best and get a win, take it as what it is, and it's the last game of this season, and try to go out there and play well.
And that brings us to our Twitter question. This one from @FrostySman. Will the Giants finally find a long-term solution at tight end this offseason? Lance, Brandon Myers, the Giants can get out of that contract if they like. More than likely, based on the money, they will. What are their plans?
Well, I'd like to know what Frosty S Man has to say about this. Love the Twitter.
Well, he's asking the question.
The
he wants to
yes.
know.
In terms of the tight end spot, the question is, do you want to go down the road, John, where it's going to be five straight seasons, five different tight ends? Keep in mind, they had Kevin Boss, Jake Ballard, Martellus Bennett, now Brandon Myers. Yes, it's nice to infuse new faces into the mix because perhaps they bring something new to the table. But remember, this is a complex Giants offensive system. And just because you bring in a new guy doesn't mean he's all of a sudden going to be able to have a great deal of success. Take, for example, Brandon Myers. Took him a few games, even a full season, till he fully became acclimated with the system. Mike Pope is a great tight ends coach, but I think you need to consider the fact that stability can take you very far in this game. And maybe bringing back Brandon Myers after seeing what he's done in the later stages of the season may be something they want to consider.
But the one thing this team craves is an all-around tight end that can not only catch passes, but also block.
Well, blocking is key. You need to be that extra offensive lineman, just like running backs need to be able to block. So if you are going to bring in a new tight end, John, as you just alluded to, you want to make sure they're a dual threat. They can stretch the field as a receiver, but they can also come in and win the battle at the line of scrimmage. And that was something that Brandon Myers has struggled a bit in, so that's why they may want to explore other options.
Now, we save this guy for last because he is perhaps the biggest name on the Giants free agent list this year, and that is Hakeem Nicks. Hakeem talked to the media today about his future and what's important to him as he heads into free agency.
You know, the stability of things, it's just like weighing your options. If I was to have to do that, it's not just about money. I'm not the guy that's just going to be like, oh, let me go get this. Nah. But, you know, I look at everything as a blessing, and you know, everything that's supposed to happen, gonna happen. It's all gonna unfold.
Hakeem Nicks will go on to say he wants to be a member of the Giants once again. He and his representative will talk next week and make contact with the Giants to try to work on getting a deal done. Lance, it's great that he wants to be back, but the question is, can his number get close enough to the Giants' number where the business side of things come together and he can be a member of the team again next year in a salary structure that fits both him and the organization?
And that's the million-dollar question, John, because it's not just
literally
addressing wide receiver. You're right. You hit it right on the nose. It's also about addressing some other positions of need. So the Giants can't go into this saying Hakeem Nicks is priority number one because you've got to address offensive line, running back, and plenty of other spots.
And you have to be wonder if Hakeem Nicks, how much he's left in the tank. This is two straight down years for him.
Plus, he's been injury-plagued, so that's another fact that you need to take into consideration. And you're right, he hasn't necessarily stood out this season, and the desire has been questioned, the work ethic has been questioned. So you have to take all of those factors into consideration before you determine what number fits him best.
Let's get to the backfield before we take a break here, Lance. And Andre Brown's a free agent, David Wilson coming off of that neck injury. Who knows what his health status is going to be? Are they going to bring in a veteran running back? And they also need to find somebody that they can rely on to protect Eli Manning and pass protection.
And Peyton Hillis and Brandon Jacobs are also free agents, guys that weren't even with the team at the start of the season. So perhaps you bring back one of them. I think Peyton Hillis over Brandon Jacobs because he's shown that he could catch the ball out of the backfield and pass protect. But I think they've gotten it to the point, John, they need a new face. Andre Brown's been injury plagued. David Wilson's a huge question mark. I don't know if they can say, we bring everybody back, we're going to be able to resurrect this running game. You need a new weapon who can give this a jump start.
Well, we'll tell you what happens. And, of course, they're meeting the backfield. Henry Hanoski and John Connor, they'll likely compete in the offseason for that spot. When we come back, we focus on the Giants' defense on Big Blue Hits Friday, fueled by Hess on Giants.com. We'll be right back.
You had a bad day, you take it one down, you sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know, you tell me don't lie, you earn a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day, the camera don't lie, you come back down and you really don't mind. You had a bad day, you had a bad day.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
We're back here on Big Blue Hits Friday. It's all fueled by Hess right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Mendel. Lance, let's focus on the Giants' defense. Obviously, it's been a strength this year, but there could be some new faces next year. A lot of big decisions the Giants will have to make in the offseason.
Specifically on the defensive line, you have Justin Tuck as a free agent. Linval Joseph can also hit the market. And they need to determine what they want to do with respect to the linebackers, because John Beeson is also going to be able to test the market after a really strong stretch here with the Giants.
And Keith Rivers as well, linebacker. Then two guys in the secondary, two veterans, Corey Webster and Aaron Ross, also going to hit the free agent market. Now, one guy in the defensive backfield that's played extremely well this year is Antrell Roll. He's one of the defensive captains, along with Justin Tuck, who is also an unrestricted free agent. Roll cannot imagine a world in which Justin Tuck is not a member of the New York Giants.
I'm not imagining that. You know, I mean, I hopefully can ride with that guy, you know, a couple more years, man. You know, he's a phenomenal guy. He's a phenomenal talent, an outstanding teammate, and I don't want to think about that day, because, you know, I mean, it'll definitely mess me up.
That brings us to our Twitter question. At Rudy the Reindeer, has Tuck's bounce back year made it more or less likely he will be a Giant next season, Lance?
Well, 7.5 sacks in the last 5 games really has turned it on as of late. I think that the Giants see he's got some gas in the tank, and with other guys around him playing at a high level, if that gets to a point next season, I think that there's value to bring back Justin Tuck. If JPP can get back healthy, Matthias Kiwanuka can get a little bit stronger and more comfortable now that he's brought back at the line. You want that mix, because what's thrived for the Giants recently, John, is not that they just have one guy that can get to the quarterback, but they have multiple guys, and I think Tuck fits well into this system.
Yeah, and Tuck's come out with the passers recently, but solid against the run from start to finish this year.
And doesn't receive enough credit for stopping the run. All you hear about is how the sacks have stockpiled this season. But, John, you're right. Very quietly, he's a big reason why the Giants went from the bottom of the rankings against the run last season to all of a sudden in the early teens to this season.
And perhaps their best two-way defensive lineman, rushing the passer and stopping the run at the same time. Another good two-way player, though, no more as a run stopper, is Linval Joseph. He's coming up. His rookie contract's about to expire. Now, the Giants think he's a good player. But the question is, with all their other needs, can they figure out a way to pay him with the money they have available?
Well, and I think versus Justin Tuck's situation, John, you have a lot of depth at defensive tackle. So maybe perhaps you could say, if we let Linval Joseph walk and he gets big money on the market, we've got Jonathan Hankins, we've got Marcus Coon, we've got Cullen Jenkins, who has some versatility. Defensive tackles don't necessarily get a great deal of money, but Henry Melton, for example, from the Bears, was given the franchise tag last season, had just under $9 million thrown his way. I don't know if the Giants have that type of flexibility this offseason.
Yeah, I really think both in the cases of Joseph and Tuck, they want these guys back. The only thing that I think is probably going to stop it is if another team swoops in and really breaks the bank and the Giants aren't able to match.
Well, you need to make these decisions based on the finances, John. Emotionally, you're tied to these guys, and they've given a lot to the organization. But when it comes to the NFL, when you're hit with this salary cap, you need to make sure that everything can fit within the budget when you have needs all across the board.
And talking to everybody in this locker room this year, the one player they like to credit for turning this whole thing around was John Beeson. He arrived for that Chicago Bear game, and boy, at middle linebacker, as the leader of the defense, as a guy that can stop the run, he's made a huge impact this year, but also an unrestricted free agent.
And somebody that I'm sure is getting a lot of attention elsewhere around the league. There are some things that John Beeson does, John, and you don't necessarily see it here in the video, that he brings to the table off the field. And it's his veteran leadership, as you keyed in. He's a great complement to Antrell Roll, very effective against the run, struggled sometimes within pass coverage. But once again, it's going to come down to money. And remember, this is the first time since 2010 he's appeared in double-digit games. You need to take into consideration his injury history.
Both a reconstructed knee with a torn ACL and a torn Achilles in his career, so very important to keep an eye on that. In terms of the rest of the linebacker core, Keith Rivers is a free agent, and do you believe in either Paysinger or Williams to play that weak side? You could have three new linebackers here next year for all we know.
Well, that's been the one position that I think Giants fans are itching to see a playmaker out of the group. It's not necessarily making change for the sake of making change, but getting back to the days of Lawrence Taylor and Antonio Pierce, where you have a guy that you could point out in that group and he really set the tone. Do they have that right now on paper? I think Beeson's got that potential. Paysinger has embraced his opportunities, but you have to explore each and every option that's presented your way.
Well, one guy that's done in the secondary and made a ton of plays is Antrell Roll. Justin Tuck thinks he's the defense's MVP.
I think he's the top one, obviously. I think he's our defensive MVP this year, and I think he's played Pro Bowl-ish. So, absolutely.
And he's been the leader in the secondary, Tuck on the line, Beeson at middle linebacker, and Lance. Antrell Roll finally has gotten the chance to actually play safety here with the Giants. No more of this slot corner stuff. He's been at safety. He's tied for the NFL lead in interceptions. He's been fantastic.
Outside of that Cowboys game, the second time around was really the only time where we saw him move into that slot position, and that really caused some confusion on the Giants' defense. But because of some of the depth that they've had at safety and at corner, he's been able to get back into his comfort zone. And the one number that jumps off the page to me is the fact that he's been so opportunistic this season, John. The fact that he's tied for the league lead in interceptions with six. You lose Stevie Brown, and you pick up right where Brown left off by having Roll inserted back into his zone.
Now, the other number that jumps out at you is his salary cap number this year, and this is where it gets interesting. He has to be charged around $7 million in terms of cap space for the Giants to keep him around. I think it's a prime candidate for a contract extension. Lower that number and spread it out over a few years.
Well, Roll versus Eli Manning, I would say there's more of an urgency factor because Roll only has 1 year left on his contract, and he's coming off a very productive year. So there's incentive to perhaps sit down at the negotiating table and see if Roll can give the Giants some further flexibility. At the same time, you lock him up for years to come.
Then you have Prince Mukamara, who's really stepped up, and he's solid starting corner. But who's going to be across from him next year? That's a question that I think is still up in the air.
And I don't know if it's necessarily a guy that's currently on the roster. I think Tremaine McBride's been a pleasant story, but who knows if the Giants want to upgrade there. And Jayron Hosley, it's still a learning curve with respect to him, and he also needs to prove he can stay healthy. Then you look at Terrell Thomas, who has proven he can be healthy, John, but I think at this point in his career, he's mostly a slot corner, not necessarily a guy you can line up on the outside.
And of course, you have to worry about his knees holding up long term as well. Obviously, three ACL surgeries. You never know exactly with Terrell Thomas how long that knee is going to hold up. It's just the nature of the business.
That's a big question mark with Terrell Thomas. That's why it's a great story, the fact that he did hold up, but was this just a fluke? Was it a rare circumstance? Or is this an indication of what's going to happen in years to come? And even if you bring him back, remember, you need to have him on a very structured practice schedule so you don't overwork him.
Lance, should be a very exciting offseason. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and then we'll see what happens.
Look forward to it.
And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Hits Friday right here on Giants.com. It's all fueled by Hess. For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for joining us all season long on Giants.com. It's been a lot of fun. Enjoy the game on Sunday, everybody, and enjoy your offseason. For all the coverage, stay tuned to Giants.com. We'll be right back.